Machshavas Avreicha on page Samach Tes. So the Rebbe is telling us how to be careful to always try to take hold of the edge of the teachings of the Tzaddikim and the Svarim HaKadoshim, to a kanaf and a kotze of the avoda that they're talking about, and not to dismiss something because it seems to be beyond our madrigas, because in every single Torah, every one of us can take out practical avoda for ourselves. So after reminding us of that, he returns and extracts from that piece of the Mo'er Shemesh that we learned last week what we have to know for ourselves. So on page Samach Tes of Inyan Hanal on top. So the Inyan Hanal Mo'er Shemesh, where the Mo'er Shemesh was talking about Mesiris Nafshei V'Gufa L'Hashem, that a Jew is Maisa Nefesh. What does it mean? What does it mean to be Maisa Nafshei V'Gufa every moment of one's life to Kadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, "Obenina nal meha mor v'shemesh. Kol ish yedeh shaloi kidei lecho v'lishtois v'lasis shar dvarm gufanim ka'kelev v'ka'achbar b'rayahu yisbarach." Every person understands that Hashem didn't have to create him and put him in this world that he should eat and drink and to do other physical things like a dog or like a rat. That's not why Hashem, who's the source of all pureness and of holiness and beyond anything that we could speak about or describe, that's not why Hashem had to create us, that a human being, that a Jew should eat and drink and sleep and many times I've mentioned that Even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat, sof kol sof, right? And what the Rebbe is saying is that lecho v'lishtos v'las is shad v'am gufonim ka'kelev ka'achba, that that's the whole tachlis of a person's life, that he should be like an animal. An animal doesn't put on a suit. I mean, you could do that, and there are fancy people that have dogs that wear outfits, and I guess cats that you could put even a tuxedo, a bow tie, you could make whatever you like, you can make something nice. And I'm shagam to do things like that, but sof kol sof, what is it that a person's entire life is eating and drinking? So because he reads the book review in the Sunday Times or something, it makes him so much different than a dog or a cat. I mean, that's tachlis of a person being in this world, to eat and to drink and to just be mefanis himself. Of course, that the Baruch Shalom created a person, each and every one of us. She is kaddish v'yizkaru l'yizbarach, to become holy and to be near Hashem. Tachlis b'yosa, the tachlis of being created. Kshem is b'inin ba'atzmai, and when a person looks at himself, in himself, she may chayev k'tzara, and the days of his life are very, very short, are brief. How long is a person's life? Kshi avru yom avak'tzarem, when those few days pass, v'yagil yimei ha'netzach, and those days that are going to be forever arrive. Then that world and that matzav that a person has chosen for himself while he was in this world, he's going to remain bound to that way of thinking, that way of living forever and ever. Is that what a person should be like? Is that what they should be? You remember we told that Maisa about that Yid that he gave up his life to bring the Chiddush Arim to Kotzk for Shabbos, and how the whole Olam Haba that he had is that he was living in that world of Dimyon, the Balagola, the wagon driver, that his Olam Haba was the deepest wish that he had in this world, is that he should have two healthy horses and a nice, smooth, paved road, because in Poland everything was mud and filth. So in the Olam Adimyon, in that world beyond this world, this wagon driver, this Yid, was going forever and ever and ever on a nice paved road with two healthy horses, thinking he's still in this world and he's on his way, you know, to a job. And he was stuck in that hasaga of toiv, in that hasaga of what is good. That's his hasaga, you know. So a person nowadays, you don't have those hasagas. So a person's olam haba is going to be like, you know, an achbar, a kelef, to be the first one at the best, you know, at the best smorgasbord, when they just go ding and it's open, and they open up all the trays, and you're the only one that's there, and you just got back from work. You don't have a chance to even have, you know, a piece of bread yet, and you're the first one by the smorgasbord, and there's nobody there. There's not even any waitresses there, waiters. So you have to be embarrassed. You're going back to the same place 12 times. You just take it yourself with big spoons. So you can do that forever, just forever. You're just like the first one at Marina Del Rey's smorgasbord, the first one, and they just opened, and no one's like looking at you funny. So a person's hasagas of what it means, Nebuch. So Hashem Yisbarach didn't create us that we should be stuck forever, God forbid. What really is awaiting each and every one of us, and what we should have, is lahavdil, the Tayyar Elyon, that highest level of pureness. To be near to the one who is holy and exalted, together with the Nishamas HaKadoshim and Malachim and Sarafim. When a person thinks about this, when a person looks at this and he thinks about this deeply, even if it's a lower person, even if it's not a great person, but a person is Mizbainin, a person thinks deeply about this, then Kol Gufay Yirad, then his entire body begins to tremble. Kol gufa yirad, the libay bekirbay yispalates, and his heart inside of him begins to explode. Aval toloi imachshavtei shel ha'adam v'dinyane chazakim heim alai. But it all depends if whether a person is able to sustain a thought, to think deeply and to imagine something in a strong way. If a person is able to have a strong thought, a clear thought, which is what the Rebbe has been teaching us all along, and will continue to teach us how to develop a thought and how to hold on to a thought, and then to go into it more and more and more, and to imagine more and more. So if a person is able to take this thought that he just mentioned about being stuck b'nemichus akelev, in that loneliness of a dog after this world, and being kept away from being in the company of the Marim B'Kaddish of Hashem and the Neshamas HaKadoshim and the Malachim and so on, and he's able to be mitzayir that, he's able to draw that very in very great detail in his mind. That thought itself will have an effect upon you. It will have such an effect upon a person that it will have a very great hishtakikus, a very great longing. At least for that time, while he's thinking to be misrachi benagashmi, is to finally pull himself away from his preoccupation with physical things. And to draw closer to Hashem. Lachzayz b'nayim Hashem, and to behold the pleasantness of Hashem. V'nafshay timtza litaim arevis yididis ne'imus lekusai, and his soul will want very much the taste of the pleasantness, of the sweetness of that friendship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if the person's shuka, even if the person's longing is not to such a degree as was described in the Marav HaShemesh, which means till kalis hanefesh, till the person doesn't want to be in this world anymore, he just wants to leave the world. That's what the Marav HaShemesh was saying. So the So the Rebbe is saying that, okay, we might not be holding with such madregas to want to leave the world, that because of our longing for Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's beyond our present way of thinking and our way of understanding. To have such a tshuka. He says, but he still has a shtaka, because at least to be separated from the coarseness of physical things that he's so embedded in, and so obsessed with, and so involved in. And its tshuka will have an effect upon him. Not that he's going to want to leave the world and so on, but kshabala tefila, when he comes to daven, shukosa yoisim as gaberis, this tshuka becomes stronger. Umaat maat gam gufay mizdakek va'elohu, and gradually, this tshuka, this longing to be separated from physical things, again, not in an extreme way, but in the way that we can have such a hergish on our level, that doesn't mean fasting and not to have anything of this world, but from the things that take up so much of our lives and so much of our time and so on and so forth. That if we'd be pshutim mamish, then it's not even possible for us to imagine how different our lives would be. How much of the daigas and of the worries that we have in our lives, that these worries are connected because of our lack of pshitas. And if we would be pshutim and we'd be able to live on a moshav in some very, very simple little hut somewhere, you know, with running water and a toilet and a little stove, someplace in the yeshuv, in a beautiful, on a beautiful hill, someplace in Eretz Yisrael, so we wouldn't have to have all the daigas that we have and the craziness and the worries and running every single morning and night to different, you know, all kinds of hishtadlis the person has to make and be involved in a million different things and stores and malls and places and all of that stuff, all of these things, and all the daigas about the children, is because that we don't have pshitas. And if we would just have pshitas and to live in a simple way and to have a simple cheder and a simple kfar by a nice little mountain someplace with a couple of trees, that we'd all be able to have time to learn and have pshitas and all of a person, our madrega, we could let go of all of the complications that come with the so-called modern civilized life and all of the misery that it's brought to us and to our children, to have thrown them into such craziness, into such complications that they don't need, and that the tev of a person is to stay so far from, chlal don't need, and to live in such a way, and it's craziness, these things that, you know, to pay for a child's education. So I'm telling you, high school, I'm a little bit, you know, I'm not connected to, I don't know how much all these things are tuitions, but somebody was telling me that they wanted to have, they would like to have another child, but the high school charges $17,000 tuition. And how can you have $17,000? $17,000, those are unbelievable numbers. You know, to pay for school, and I'm not saying that the schools don't deserve it, because they in turn have to pay crazy things, and everything is so crazy. So then to ask a parent, and people are afraid to have children because how could they do that? They can't imagine paying for $17,000, and that's which now could cost more than something, I guess, like Queens College or a city college. I'm sure it doesn't cost more than a few thousand dollars. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know anymore how much things cost. Okay, so a high school, and then besides all the crazy, you know, the expenses that come with, you know, dressing up your little princess for these high schools and for these places and all these things that have become so out of control. And then after the kids are having, after all the money that's being spent on the kids, then you know, to invite to put them, you know, in the chasnas and all the different things that it's so complicated. And a person, at least on our madrega, could have a tshuka not to have not to have all of these things, not to be always have, not to have to always go in the car for different things and appointments and meetings and to be all of these things and that have become so much a part of our lives that as we created for ourselves don't really have to have any of these things at all. There are shiurim of agmas nefesh that a person is, the shiur of agmas nefesh that a person has to have in yisurim. But what we bring upon ourselves, such a lifestyle. So he says that at least on our madrega, we could try to have ishtaikikus. And when you come to daven, that ma'at ma'at gam gufa mizdakech va'elahu, ma'at ma'at, a little bit, we can schlep our bodies out of all of this and to be mizdakech, to be simpler, to be more refined. Such people, you know, don't have to go out to eat. We don't have to, you know, have certain things. We don't have to, you know, in the lashonis of I need or I have to. And all of these things, I have to go to this place, I need to have this, and so on and so forth. All of these things comes out the whole inion of restaurants and living such a lifestyle. It's the whole thing has become, you know, it's become so complicated. And everybody says that they need, that they're going to have to go to relax. And why is it that people have such lachats that they can't eat in their own homes? Why would a person want to eat someplace else and not to eat in his own home? Because there's so much lachats because of all the other things, and because you have to pay, you know, $5,000 a month mortgage, so your wife can't be in the house. Your wife has to go someplace, and then because your wife has to go to work, because you have to live in such a house and in such a neighborhood and so on and so forth and have this and have that, so because of that she can't be home, and then there's nothing to eat, and then you have to go to the restaurant a couple of times a month. I don't know what the shiur is, but people go to restaurants, must be doing well because every day there's another restaurant opening up, so must be there's a big shiur, and then people have to do these things, and they feel like, because if you don't go out to the restaurant, then you're cruel to your wife, to have your space, and she has to have a time, but parents can't be with their children anymore because there's so much lachats all day where they are at work, and then they come home and the kids are also making demands. So the kid is also, God forbid, an enemy. I have my boss over there, I have this over here, I have that, and then I come home and the kid's also nagging me. So now we have so much lachats, we have to get away and leave the children with the grandparents and go away for a week and go away here and go out to eat them and the children. And then we have to figure out what to do to the children because they're off with the children because they're off the derech. And that's also going to cost me more money because I have to pay for a private rebbe and pay for extra thing and have to pay for drug rehabilitation. I have to pay for all different inyonim because it's so chahena v'chahena and all of this. But I'll still make sure that we have to go out to eat because I need my peace of mind. You know, all of these inyonim. That is crazy. It's crazy. I don't have to describe because everybody could say much better descriptions than me, but all of us have to live in this garlic. All of it is what we brought upon ourselves. So all that we bring upon ourselves, and it's all of it's not necessary at all. Or maybe it's the drop. Hardly any of it is necessary. And when a person, so on our level, we're not talking about giving up one's life and dying al kiddush Hashem and so on. But the Baruch Shemesh, that's also something he's going to talk about a little bit more from the Noam HaMelech. But at least to have a shtaikikus that we shouldn't need these things. We shouldn't need these things. And all the Yetzaharas and all the Taivas, where they come from. So now they have all this new technology and all the new technology that's supposed to make life so much better. Because now you'll be able to sell more things. So you'll be able to go to more restaurants, right? Because you're making more money because now you're also online. Until now you weren't online. Now you're online, so your life is happier. And then you have all these Taivas because together with being online, it comes with all these Taivas and all these Yetzaharas that never, ever existed before. So with all of these things, each thing is creating new taivas, new yetzaharas, new complications that a person has, and you don't know how to get out of it because you wanted to have a certain kind of a life, and you married a certain kind of a wife, and she married a certain kind of a husband. Now you say, you know, honey, I've had it. I just want to get out of this, and I want to go to move to that, you know, moshav someplace, and to drop all the stuff, to sell our $1 million house, and to drop our $10,000 mortgage and four cars, and just to live in Pashtus, and then she'll say, you go by yourself because I'm not going to go with you. You're crazy and never heard of such a thing, and that's not who you married. And he said, what am I going to do because now I have my kids? I can't leave them like this. I can't be by myself. I love my wife. So that's it. And until 120, and then you have to even wait online for the Chavir Kedisha because it's too complicated with that also. You have to wait online, or maybe they'll have virtual Chavir Kedisha and virtual Kaddish and whatever it's going to be by the time we're 120. And the reason that to say all of these things is to be mitzayah. That's what the tzaddik is saying. You have to have a machshava chazaka to realize what is it that we're giving up and what is it that we could have, and that a person should have a little bit his dakichus of the guf of the body. If we are cheskos machshav to chukosa.
At least the butcher and automatically the cost of living just goes up. If you look at wherever you didn't want to be and move together and have a chever and have a shul and everything, the goyim really, everybody sells the houses and it becomes expensive almost no matter where you go. So find an apartment in North Shire and try to buy something in Gorilla, any other place, it doesn't matter where. It's because we want to be together, and that's in part. On a moshav is different, I understand.
You have to think of an age like that. There could be an age like that. I understand that you go to any of these places, so you start off and it's quiet a little bit in the beginning, and then it gets complicated, and everybody's worried about the chinuch of the children to be, and that there should be proper schools and proper places, and there should be enough friends and so on and so forth. I believe that a lot of this has to do with demyanus also, and that it is possible somehow. I'm not saying that I have a practical right now, an eighth of where and what, but I think that it wouldn't be impossible to some degree. Again, it's not maybe what the, let's say I'm giving you as an example. We spoke about this a few months ago. To some degree, what the square Rebbe, not his father, again, what he imagined with having a place like that, it's more complicated than the tzaddik originally imagined because of the demands of panos and holding the maizdis and so on, and because of that they've also had to struggle with different inyanim, but for that original for the ones who originally planned such a thing, to be able to go and to set up shop someplace. And it sounds, when I talk to my wife about this all the time, about this idea, and people are very, very smart. Yidden are very smart. And there are ages that they can come up with if they think about it. But it's very hard, because then by the time you have children, and then how to take care of these children, again, that we think that we have to have certain kinds of mice, that's also not really true. As if we're making, as if the Jews are coming out greater and smarter and holier because of all the multi-million-dollar buildings with all the new curriculums, with the children coming out from that. I don't know. I leave the practical things to you. I just think about the theoretical. So, but im refuye hi machshavtai. But if the thought is a weak thought, it's just a passing thought, and it's not something that a person mamish thinks about and draws in his mind. As afim yirad mitchila, even if you might have a little bit of a, you might tremble a little bit when you think about the next world. Mikomakom miyad. His baninusai im haraada yachad yikavu v'yayvdu b'lay pu'ula b'lay aliyah. But that's the. But if you don't think deeply about this, so then immediately, and you don't, you're not. Also, it's not with his rachavus hamachshava. So then, you think about it for a second. You might get a little bit scared, and you break out in a little bit of a sweat, and then very quickly that disappears, and without any pula, without taking any action or making any changes, a below aliyah, without any progress in one's avodah, in one's life. It's just this, you have this like scare, this little bit of a scare. Or in Yom Kippur, it's like a longer scare. You get this scare, and you think, you know, Gevalt, what's going to be with me? What's going to be with my life? But if you're not able to, if you're not a person that has developed this a way of thinking, which we're going to be learning much more about, and to hold on, to be mechazik a machshava, so then it just passes, it just goes. And bechlal, to take that time to sit and to think, which the Rebbe never imagined that we would be so torrid with all different kinds of machines and different that we can't have. You know, that a person can't have quiet and to sit and to think and to just be by himself a little bit. There was in those days. It was. I remember years ago when we were first married. We were in the mountains in the summer. So there was only one phone. There was one phone in the middle of the bungalow colony. There were only two or three very rich people that had phones in the bungalow. Maybe more than two or three, but there were people. Some people had phone in the bungalow. We didn't have a phone in the bungalow. There was one phone in the middle. You know, and that someone would scream out Weinberger. You know, if like you know, on the rare occasion that there'd be a call, and otherwise to sit in a place and to learn and to be with your wife and with the children and to talk and be emes and to be real and not every single second of calling you back and having to call and the messages and returning and all of these things, it's a completely different life. So the question. Is it possible to go back to that? I said to my wife recently that I'm thinking of not talking on the phone anymore, ever again. Except I said, what about your parents? I said, except my parents. What about your sister? Except my sister. What about the children? Oh, the children. Are there. And what about your friends? Well, my friends either. What, and what about everybody from the shul? I have to talk to you from the shul. So then there you are again. You can't. I guess that's how it happened to begin with. Right? But the truth is, I really. You know, just to take a scissor and to just cut all of those wires. So what will happen? Some people will be angry. You lose your job. You have to go someplace. So then what? That maybe would be better than anything. And then you have that place by the, you know, in the forest. What would be so bad? So then they get thrown out because how come you don't call back? And you didn't call this one. You didn't call that one. You're a Rashi. You're a Marusha. And all of these things. How come you don't call anybody? You're all by yourself. You're crazier. Just to say klapishmai, but you still can't. You can't love people without a telephone. You can't talk to people without a telephone. It went on for thousands of years. So Terry says you can't do it anymore. Not even without the email. They had a Rav that called me. They had a tiny. He couldn't get through to me on the email. I said, there's a good reason for that. I don't have an email. So how come? I said, so why don't you just call me right away? He says it's easier with the email. So I said, okay, I don't have an email. He doesn't believe that they wouldn't have an email. Just like when I go someplace and people say, can you give me your card? I say, well, maybe my card. The only cards I ever had were Mickey Mantle and my mother gave them all away to my cousin. So I have no more cards. Those are my cards. I don't have a card. Just like, you know, to talk to my assistant rabbi and call my secretary. And it's bad enough. All of these things that make life so sugar, so crazy and complicated that we live this way. Anyway, please excuse me for my ravings and ranting. What could practically change? Alpha people, a person has to have strong mitzvahs to be normal.
Yeah. You don't answer the phone between 5 and 8 p.m. It says in our message that we're doing homework, dinner, and everything.
And isn't it better?
And it's Givaldi.
Right.
But my daughters, the 8th graders, the friends, they call once. They don't leave a message. They call again.
Yeah.
They call. So I get on the phone and I said, did you not chop when you heard the message the 8th time? So now they're all mad at my daughter for being such a Russia. But we don't answer. And it's just a
but you see, isn't it? Even to leave a few hours where you don't touch the phone, that makes a dramatic change in a person's life. So you lose a couple of friends, or you lose this and that. So what? So what's the? But what are you giving up? You're giving up your family. You're giving up your children. The whole thing. You know, and every time I look at this and I see, okay, I look at, you know, and I listen, you know, you have 21 messages. And I just took them like 2 hours ago, and then this one, I have to call now. So every person in his own way, in his own inyanim that he has to take care of. if a person would say like that takana that Moshe made in the house, that for those hours that absolutely nothing at all, it's already a different life. Maybe some people can't do that if you have, God forbid, a parent that's, you have to have a separate phone if there's a parent that needs to get through, obviously, or something. It's something to know. But you see, the color idea is already, that's also Yetzirah. The color idea is to look at that thing. That even Ben Al Machaber is not even a nice thing. The whole meaning of the color idea is not a nice thing. Is look at this, and he's not Zoyche. So you look at the thing, he says, meh. This person is not Zoyche. You know, and I catch myself all the time, because there's a certain person like checks in with me six times a week from out of town. I met him once someplace that year, and he calls me six times from out of town. Every week I get this, an Indian, you know, should I go to the right, should I go to the left, should I scratch my head, should I not? And I look at that, and I see on the machine over there, it says, that state, you know, it's like a weird state. So it says over there, that state, and I think, oh my goodness. And it's terrible. That Ben Al Machaber is a terrible thing, that you look at this and you say, no, you're not Zaych. So the whole thing of a caller ID is that caller ID thing, bichlal, is an invention that's so not nice, and it's supposed to make life better. It's supposed to make life just like call waiting. What's call waiting? So it used to be there was a busy signal, somebody wasn't home. Now you talk to somebody, it's so rude. You're in the middle of talking to somebody on the phone, and then you say hold on, and you put this, but the person waits, and how many times I have some people calling me, like some lady calls and says, oh, so and so is trying to call you, could you hold on? I don't want to get into this to begin with. I'm in the middle of a Gemara or something, and some lady calls me and she says, oh, Rabbi so and so is trying to reach you, please hold on. I go, why am I Meshubad? So she's calling me to tell me that the rabbi wants to speak to me, and then I'm waiting on the phone for 5 minutes that he should get on the phone, his Royal Highness, to talk to me, and I have to. All of these machines are so Ben Al Machaber, this, that, and they don't mean anything bad, but what kind of thing is that? To call somebody, have someone call for you, and to tell you that you should wait. It's not. The whole thing Ben Al Machaber is so crazy. It would never work out in any Chavetz Chaim, any piece of Torah. So all of these in Yom, a caller ID, they should say to sir. Or they'd call waiting, that even the person that has you on the phone, and then there's a click, and in the middle of it's clicking, click, 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 and you have to wait, and then call this. And all of these in Yonah, all said Ben Al Machaber, so what did it do? The Torah is to just totally disengage, just take out all the wires and pull everything out from the wall. And at least if a person makes for himself two hours, that's a good idea. 2-3 hours, that's already a big shear. Not everybody could do that. But if a person at least makes the time that if you're able to be home a little bit when you come back and from work, and to be able to completely with the cell phones, except to have a phone in case a parent or somebody, of course you have to have that they should be able to reach you. Otherwise, everything else not to have. What would happen? What do you think would happen? See, there'll be people that are angry at you. So those people that get angry over such an yonim, so then they'll work it out. You know, either they work it out or they don't call you again. So that means that's not better. That's even better. What a person should be able to have a little bit of yeshiva does. Can these things be done practically? You see, they can be done practically. I know a few families. There are families that they say that at a certain time the bishum eifen, there's nothing at all with the phone. And their life is totally different from that time. No beepers, no cell phones, everything. They hand in all their weapons. They give over all their weapons. And it's hard to believe they could just sit and to think and to learn and to talk to somebody and to be a normal person. It's not shaykh for everybody in the different amounts that it's shaykh for people, but that's something that I believe that everybody can do to some degree or another, to just disengage. Not from the family, not from the friends, but to have real relationships with people instead of everything with the telephone and with the machines.
No one has patience anymore. Everything's instant. We live in a world of instant.
Yeah, so then it's the email, because the chaver would tell me the email's even worse. Because of the email, someone emails, he expects you can email him right back.
Instant message.
Because with a telephone message, at least they don't know if you got it. And I don't know, but somebody said, why is everything? I forgot this. But the email is even worse. There's more pressure sometimes with the email. Because they think that you have to, you have to answer. I don't know why you have to answer fast to them with the phone. Somebody was telling me that the email, it makes even more pressure.
Then instant messaging. People can message you on the spot because they can tell if you're busy or available on your PC. So when you...
They can see on their side
that you're on your computer. So they could ping you, and then you
have to see their thing. And if you saw their thing, then why don't you have? These are all terrible things.
And then portable email devices.
These are terrible things that we have to live. It's a shibud. Our ancestors in Mitzrayim, they had to be in the filth and the mud, but at least they didn't have to get all the time. They didn't have to pick up their messages and stuff. To live in such a way, to go in pastures, and I listened last night to a message. There was some lady from somewhere. She called, and she said, "It says on my machine the call. What time it said the call was? It says on the thing. Was it race? 8:22. So then she calls this lady. I don't know. She says, "You don't know me. I'm calling about this. It's very important." Then. I'm telling you what happens. I'm listening to this. It's 8:22. It's okay. I write down the name of my paper, and then it's her again. Maybe she doesn't know that they say the time, and it was 8:24. Mm-hmm. And she says, "I've been trying to reach you, and I'm having a hard time reaching you. Please call me as soon as possible." Mm-hmm. Four times she did that, within 2 minutes, and she's telling me, as if she was calling all day trying to reach me, and she was calling 2 minutes, and then 2 minutes, and then 2 minutes, 2 minutes to put such a lahat. And then I got scared. I don't even know who I call. It was such a pitputim ba'alma, narishkeit, an unbelievable narishkeit, pitputim, that it's not even worthy to talk about. Okay, so that's also, it's a chesed, someone has something on their mind, but if you can't reach somebody immediately, what happened back in the old days in Munkach? How do you reach somebody? Like if they were away or something. So what is it that's burning in a person and have such kindness and tevius that they can't reach you, they can reach you, and all of these in Yonim, and to invite to call and to go, it's all medifas that take away a person's yeshiva das. That you can't have, that a person can't have quiet in yeshiva das. So going back to what the Rebbe is saying is that in order for a person to be able to, be mizdakech, to become purified of this world and to let go of some of the things of this world, so he has to have the ability to be mechazik his machshavas, to be able to have, to be mizbaining. That's what I'm saying. The Rebbe never dreamt that people wouldn't have a few minutes a day. They wouldn't have a few minutes, and they were working hard. They were poor people back there. They were working hard, but even when you were working hard, you were able to sit and to think about something, and to, even while you were working, to think about something, without being your life constantly being invaded by other people and other inyanim. What is it?
On a certain level, just the tests have changed. I believe on a certain level, because there was a time when you had to make your own food. Now that's instant, so it shifted around. No matter what, in a way, no matter what your circumstances are. It's really up to you to decide how to run your life, because there's always distractions. Even when these electronic distractions didn't exist, people were able to either concentrate on Torah or not concentrate, waste time. Or not.
You're right, David. You're right. A person has to. At any time, a person can be. You know, there are always distractions. there are always yetzaros, and you have to be a strong person. You have to be a strong person, whatever, wherever you're living. You could be living by that idyllic, beautiful, little spot, on a hill somewhere, and you can make yourself meshuggah with something else. And that when it comes down to it, you're 100% right. It depends on who the person is, and to be able to be such a person, and therefore it's not just the technologies that's at fault, but I think that everybody is maskim and that. The accessibility of certain kind of technology and the pace of life. When you talk to people, if you're a person that has a rutzen to have more yeshiva das, to have more inner quiet, so if you have such a rutzen, if you don't have a rutzen like that and you're not strong like that, then you're right, you'll be distracted, you'll be distracted by a butterfly. But if you have a rutzen like that, the external forces nowadays still make it almost impossible, very, very hard for you, unless you do certain things like Mike's just talking, that you take out from the day an hour or two and you unplug and whatever it is, that because everything is surrounding a person, it's come out impossible to tear away from it. It's true that a person...
On a certain level, it's not impossible in the sense that you see some people who are absolutely obsessed with all the technology, and then there are other people, like yourself, who do without it, and you live. So, you survive.
But if I would be in business, I wouldn't be able to do that. People that are in business, they have to... In order to compete with nowadays in business, you have to... You have to get involved in these things.
On a certain level, you have to have bitachon. You hear the same thing, I can't take off Shabbos. People take off, it happens, it works. You have faith that you'll get by without it.
You're right. You're 100% right. And a person has to be mechazing himself and to do this. The same way that I've said that everybody will be fine if you take off the hour with the telephone. It'll also be fine. And you have somebody who's telling me he works. He was working. He's not anymore. But he was telling me he was. What time is supposed to happen? He was telling me that he works in a. He was working in a law firm, and he was telling me like his schedule was the craziest. It was the craziest schedule. And he said, I was talking about like what is it that they expect of you? You know, how do they expect such a thing in the firm? Whatever. So he told me, no, he said, Rebbe, you don't understand. The way that the way that they looked at it was like this. Them is, you're by us. You're by us. We'll let you go see your wife and kids a little bit. And others, them is, you're ours. The midas achesn, the midas harachamim, is that we'll let you spend. Okay. Go home a little bit, see your wife and kids a little bit. But the emes, you belong to us. I think that is the scariest thing I ever heard, because I think the question at the end of the day that each and every one of us who's in that rat race, you have to ask yourself is, who do I belong to? And who do I belong to? In other words, am I really like somebody in business or at a job, and I just get time off to see my wife and kids? Or am I really completely, completely in the world of the shul and the home, and I go to work? And it could be the same hours, it could be the same hours. But it's like what you're saying, it's a way of thinking, and how a person thinks of his life. And that feeling that he said he was having in that firm that was crushing him, that feeling like any time that you left, that they looked at you in the other way, and you take off a yontov, and he said he couldn't take it anymore. It was destroying his life, because when you feel that you don't live anymore in shul and at home, but you live in a place and they have you, and even when you go on vacation, you have to take somewhere. You don't have a vacation; you have to take the office calls you, because they're doing you a taiva. Now, we understand that when you go someplace a little bit, your kids call you. Because why? Because they're right. Because you belong to them. And your kids need something. Your kid, where's that? What time do I have to go? A kid calls you. That's something that's part of life. But when the boss was nice enough to let you go someplace, but he's calling you, you're getting messages and this and that, and you have to have your laptop and all the different text things and coming, is because the way he looks at you is that he's only doing you a taiva that he gave you off a little bit, and the embassy still holds you on that rope, and you're still meshubit to him, and that's a bitter life. That's an avdus, mamish an avdus of Mitzrayim, but the person has.
How do you plug in Chadash Tachas HaShemesh? If there's nothing new under the sun, then something like this existed, like David was saying, there's something like this existed before we... It's not in the form of email, it wasn't in the form of instant messaging.
What that means, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, we have to go daven. What that means, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, and how that relates to the different kufis and the different yetzaras and the different gullias that we have, and each gullias is a different gullias. The gullias of Paras, the gullias of Yavan, the different gullias, and this is a different gullias. What we're in right now is a different gullias. So the Ein Chadash means something else. This is a different gullias and a different nisyanis. The bottom line, though, is that what David said is right. It depends on who you are, and you're making a strong hachlota. That's a consistent thing. Well, we'll go back.
In other words, there's a different.